Throughout this month, as we reflect on the way God is calling us to live our lives in this community and in the world, we're exploring the theme of God's providence and our thankful generosity. And so we have in part departed from the lectionary for this month. At least we had that option, and I took it. However, the lectionary passage in the Old Testament is the Daniel passage that we met this morning. And I have kept that to work in tension with the passage in Timothy that speaks to how we are to live our lives in faith and in generosity, even in contentment as part of that. It was part one of the text that was offered in the midst of the Bible study that might have happened through this month of November, and I have not had the opportunity to preach that stewardship text, and so I chose to wrestle with it. Now, those of you who have known me for a long time know that I am hardly the person to stand up here and speak about contentment. In fact, the first church I served, I can vividly remember after an altercation that I had with my head of staff about where we were to be spending our mission time, he said to me, "I just hope, Chris, that someday you might be content." And I can remember marshaling everything I had in me to not go stomping out of his office saying, "I will never be complacent." And so this was a sermon to wrestle with. It was a sermon to wrestle with in a week where it would be so nice to feel content as we look at our world. A week such as this, a week crying out for God's grace and love and peace. And so I was kind of glad that the lectionary served up Daniel this morning to read a text pointing to the end times, because there's a lot of talk about that in these days. Some say we are surely living in these days of end times. And we could get lost in a slew of interpreting signs and visions, or be overcome by the pain of our world, a very real pain, but brought close in our communities and also in our world, in our relationships around us. Yet the prophet and interpreter of dreams, Daniel, even this prophet of the end times brings a word of hope, a promise that those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the wisdom we seek as we seek to follow where God alone would lead in love, a power that is not our own, but wholly God's, for which we can be abundantly thankful in worship and with our lives. Yesterday at our presbytery meeting, one always has to love those presbytery meetings that fall on your sermon preaching weeks. Some people have to preach all the time or most of the time. But yesterday at our presbytery meeting, we sang our worship together. A choir came together amidst the 30 churches in our region to raise music to God that was a powerful witness. And I want to share with you the titles of the pieces we sang. Welcome. Mis manos son bendidas por Dios. My hands are blessed. Hakuna wakaita sa Yesu. There is no one like Jesus. Hold on. Child of God, I believe, I choose love, which was composed in the wake of the church shootings in Charleston, South Carolina, by the person who led this singing workshop. We walk by faith and not by sight. Stand by me all my days. It was what those of us who often lead churches needed in that moment. for the presbytery is the church of the pastors. And I talked to many who were needing to be there in song. What is it that truly brings contentment? While the American Heritage Dictionary describes contentment as being satisfied, the interpreter's dictionary of the Bible defines it as the acceptance of things as they are, as the wise and loving providence of a God who knows what is good for us, who so loves us, as always to seek our good and whose power is adequate to that love, beyond being satisfied. Something quite different from the warm and fuzzy sense of satisfaction of coziness in our own worlds, which sometimes are very cozy, very privileged, allowing us to wall ourselves off from the world and its pain. This Bible definition is not nearly so passive or isolationist, to borrow a word from the Republican debate this week. And yet it reminds us over and over again that it is not just up to us, that this true contentment that comes to us is a gift from God. The biblical definition of contentment opens up the door to something much more active, to a worldview which recognizes the power of God and also God's loving desire for good for all God's people, a love rooted in the God who loved so fully that he died for God's people, that all might live eternally in the fullness of life. In looking at the Hebrew and Greek words for contentment, the interpreter's dictionary continues, neither in the Old Testament or the New Testament does the proper contentment of the godly preclude the divine discontent with injustice and wrong. And I might add, our discontent with injustice and wrong. When we keep our eyes on God, we are led, we are sustained, we are provided for in ways that we cannot imagine possible, even the night before a sermon is being preached. That's why I started the story with the children the way I did today. What do you love? What did they say? What did they say? What do you remember them saying? What do they love? Family? Love? They love love. Jesus, friends, a car, yellow car, yeah, yeah. Very practical, very practical. What did they not say that was in our text today? Think about the text. Money, right, money. Didn't even come up. This is why Jesus says, and a child shall lead them. Our children learn from us, my friends. They are always watching us, our relationships, our priorities, how we spend our gifts of God, of money, time, and talents, how we live the life of faith. It matters to our families and to our world. Notice the points that Timothy makes about contentment. Contentment, he writes, derives from neither monetary or material gain, but from an active pursuit of righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, I like that one, and gentleness, a list of passionate living, which keeps God always at the center, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute, if you will. In life and in death, we belong to God, begins our 1990 Presbyterian Brief Statement of Faith. How we spend our time, our talents, and our money that we enjoy matters. For in the end, we take nothing from this life into the life beyond with God. So what quality of life do you want to bring to your life and to the lives of those around you, to this community in our life together as we seek to reach out into the world with a word of hope? We've begun looking at that question, actually, in our Aging with Quality of Life conversations. If you'd like to be part of that next conversation, it's conveniently happening right after this worship service today. Living out of God's providence with thanksgiving for the gift of life that can never be taken for granted is what we are called to do. And opportunities will come to us day by day if we keep our eyes open. Even if we turn one down, another one will be coming. Some of you may have noticed that the Foster House is finally getting itself painted, which has been long overdue. Fortunately, the good sides were in the front. It's been a long, long project. Mike, the foreman on the job, said that they've never had to use three cases of caulk on a job. A few days into the job, which started in a pretty cold week, I asked Mike and some of the guys if it would be helpful if I would provide coffee for them. Now, I must admit my initial reaction to doing that would be to keep them there painting the house to get it done more quickly and not going off to Dunkin' Donuts to get their new coffee. But that opened up a whole world of conversation with them. And because they've been at my house for the last 4 weeks, I've learned a lot about the guys. Mike told me the next day after I started bringing coffee that he had told the guys, "I saw that Jesus in the window, and I knew you were my people." In these weeks, I've learned all kinds of things about them, and I've learned about Mike and his dedication to Christ through his church's Street Outreach and Overcomers group. I've watched his mentoring of his team, his faith at work. His encouragement, laughter, joy, and care for the people that he's working with and what he does. We've talked scripture, church, and faith. I've prayed with him as after Thursday's work, he headed off after a full day's work to move one of their church members into assisted living and had to tell the owner of the company that he couldn't work on Saturday because he'd already committed the day to his church and its projects. Meeting Mike has been an unexpected and welcomed gift to my life and has helped me to think about what it means to be content. I even asked him what that meant to him. He said, "Oh, it doesn't have to do with us. It has to do only with God. Only with God." Living seeking Christ at our center affects the decisions that we make about our time, talents, and treasure, even our money. Decisions to live simply that others may simply live, to share the gifts of our hearts and our love freely, to work for justice, peace, and understanding and hope for people long silenced and without the comforts so many of us take for granted and view as essentials. As I have watched my parents and others in this congregation in this intense year, in the final days of their lives, it is so clear to me that we come into this world with nothing, and we leave with nothing save the legacy of how we have lived our days on earth. What a privilege it has been to me to see contentment in both my father and my mother in very different ways and circumstances, as unique as they both are, as they have prepared to enter eternal life. What a privilege to have seen that same grace, that trust, that legacy, that faith of those who have died within our community in this year, in Rolf, in Jahada, in Bob, in Peter. May we so too live, grounded in the grace and love and providence of our Lord Jesus Christ, in thankful and giving living, today and always. Amen.